Thursday, regular time and place. We'll try and get through most of the topics. I don't think we're going to follow the Shulchan Aruch. We're going to follow topically, kind of review the way Rabbi Willig presented it. Most of the Chazar Shirim on Hilchos Bisho are a little bit different than the focus on Erevin here. I'm not trying necessarily to go on different topics. We're basically trying to review the topics that we covered. There will be topics here and there, which Rabbi Willig didn't on, but they do come up. The first topic is Rabbi Willig alluded to, which is the Gemara in Maseches Shabbos says at the end of the first parakh that if a person stirs a pot, he's chayev mishum bishul. If you stir the pot. So the Shulchan Aruch and Shin Yud Ches, Sif Yud Ches, understands that that's quotes in the name of Rav HaRishonim. That's only if it's talking about it's not mevushul. It's not mevushul kol tzarko. So then if a person stirs the pot, so then he's memaher the bishul, so then you're chayev mishum bishul on Shabbos. So then the same would be true. You're not allowed to cover the pot, you're not allowed to, all those type of things that would heat up the bishul, that would speed up the bishul, won't be chayv for bishul on Shabbos. The Ramah, over there, Shin Yirches, Yirches, quotes from the Kobo, which is difficult, that he says, he understands the Gemara, even if it's mavushal called sarko, one is not allowed to stir the pot. So the Mishnah Berurah already there, the Sharatzi and Sifka and Kuf Mem Ches, says he doesn't understand. If it's mavushal called sarko, what's the issue in stirring the pot? What are you going to do? Speed up the bishul, but it's mavushal called sarko. So it's a very difficult kolbo. The Mishnah Berurah himself has a lot of difficulty with it. There are basically two mahalchim in the Achronim, which you'll find, to deal with the kolbo. What exactly is he driving at? But either way, we're going to treat the kolbo as a chumrah. But what was he saying to begin with? So the Rav explained, I think it's in the Masorah Journal or something like that. The Rav explained that the pshat in the kolbo is that it's part of bishul. When a person, let's say, makes tomato soup. So I'm not a person that makes tomato soup, but you make tomato sauce. So you mix everything together, and then part of the thing is you stir the sauce. You stir. Stirring is part of the cooking process. Is it even when it's cooked, but you continue to stir, like macaroni, something like that. You continue to stir it. So the Rebbe understood that, and he's medayek like that, in the Rambam, that what the Kobo was saying is that stirring it is mitzarchei habishol. It's not really cooking it, even though it's fully cooked, but it's the way it's mitzarchei habishol, is that you continue to stir the pot even though it's fully cooked. So that's why you'd be chayv mishum bishul on Shabbos. Rav Moshe, as quoted by Rabbi Eider, I think, as having said that, no, the pshat on the kolbo is because we're afraid that there's a little bit, maybe, that didn't get cooked. You know, let's say you picture a chulin. Sometimes there's a little pocket of barley that didn't get cooked. So the kolbo understood if you stir the chulin, even though the chulin basically is fully cooked, but there might be a little piece which is not cooked. So if you stir the pot, you might hit that one piece that wasn't cooked. The two nafkaminas between these two pshatim, the Rav isn't the only person who said this pshat. I think the Shvi'is HaShabbos says a similar pshat in the Kobo. Others say the same idea. So the two nafkaminas between these two explanations of the Kobo would be, let's say it's not on the fire. So if the pshat in the Kobo is, because when you stir it, that's mitzarchei abishol, that's only if it's on the fire. If it's off the fire, there's no mitzarchei abishol. And if the if the pshat is because there might be a little bit that isn't cooked, so that doesn't make a difference whether it's on the fire or off the fire, there still might be a little bit that isn't cooked. So you should be machmir even if it's off the fire. The second afkamina would be, let's say you're not stirring, let's say you're just scooping out. So if the pshat, again, if the pshat is that it's mitarche abishol, it's only if you stir. If the pshat is because maybe there's a piece that isn't cooked, so then you might maybe have to be machmir even not to scoop out. So the Mishnah Berurah says the minig is to be mekel to scoop out if it's off the fire. To scoop out if it's off the fire. Which sounds like we are machmer for the kolbo because it's mitzarchei abishol. Not because we're afraid there's a little bit that isn't cooked. So that's why we're willing to be mekel if it's off the fire and you're just scooping out. The Mishnah Berurah is willing to say, be'ez ha-tzerech, and Rabbi Willig passes like this, and the Chazon Ish also holds like this, that even if it's on the fire, if you're just scooping out, you're not stirring. We should be mekel really to stir off the fire too. If we really paskin, the pshat is that it's because it's mitzarchei abishol, so even to stir when it's off the fire should be alright. But Rabbi Willig thought also that to stir, to scoop out while it's on the fire, we could be mekel because the kobo himself, the whole thing is just a chumrah. We don't really understand the kobo fully. It's hard to understand. So even though we may accept pshat here and here, but we treat the kobo like a chumrah. So Rabbi Willig held, if it was too difficult, I'd say, to lift the pot off the fire, one could even scoop out from on the fire. I think they did this in Moresh HaKol. The chulent pot was so heavy, you couldn't lift the pot off the fire in the camp. The chulent pot is gargantuan. So they used to scoop out the chulent from the pot while it was on the fire. So that the assumption is that the whole kobo is just a chumrah to begin with, and here you're not even stirring, you're just scooping. So then it should be all right. Rabbi Wilk was also Mako. I guess this was in the times when he didn't have, I didn't know he had a waistband. That was a new piece of information. I always thought he had a traditional crock pot because of this story. He said his sons used to take cholent on Friday night, so he, we'll get to in a second, if you take the cholent off the fire, you can't put it back on the fire. So he said they used to take cholent from the fire itself. Because if you scoop out while it was on the fire Friday night, for Friday night cholent. Because if you take the cholent off the fire Friday night, you won't be able to put it back. It'll be a problem of tocho. So again, whenever there's a problem in putting the pot back, either it's too heavy, you won't be able to put it back, because it'll be tocho. But we'll thought you could scoop from off the fire, because the whole kobo himself is just a chumra. And even if it is a chumra, maybe the pshat on the chumra is because it's mitzarchi abishal to stir, but it's not mitzarchi abishal to scoop out. Because of the kobo, though, so one is... The question, how far to take the chumra of the kobo? We try, most people serve soup, they take the soup off the fire to be machmer for the kobo, not to serve from the fire, or cholent. Shabbos morning, we take the cholent off the fire and then to serve it. The question would be, though, how far do we go with this? The Shulchan Aruch and Reish Nun Dawud, and the Ramah and Reish Nun Tes, neither one, which is on the Maror Makomos, says that if you have a food, which is, Reish Nun Dawud and Reish Nun Tes, but you don't need the Maror Makomos to push it, is that if you have a food which isn't fully cooked, let's say you have a cholent which is a little bit cooked, and you open the oven door, and then to close the oven door, we'd be chayav mishum bishul, because you made it cook faster. When your door was open, it's not going to cook so fast. When you close the door, it cooks faster. So to close the door, an uncooked food or not fully cooked food would be a problem of bishul. So do we treat, what about, let's say, nowadays, we're machmer for the kobo. We don't even stir fully cooked food. So let's say I open the oven door, let's say in a kiddush in shul, they have a hot box. Everyone knows those caterer boxes that get very hot. So they take it, if you've never seen one, it's not that hard to picture, it's a box which is hot. So they open the door, and they have one cholent, then they, or kugel, a big tray, they bring it out to the kiddush, when that's done, they come back, and they take the next one. The problem is, when you close the door, are you causing the kugel to cook faster? Ah, but the kugel's already fully cooked. Yeah, but the kobo says you're not supposed to stir the pot even when it's fully cooked, so it's closing the door like stirring the pot. Do we go that far? So I think in the Shabbos kitchen, the Shvisas HaShabbos, they are machmir for that. It looks like we're machmir for the kobo. You can't close the door on an oven which is on, even if you have fully cooked food in the oven. So let's say Friday night, if you want to leave your food, you want to make sure everything is hot Friday night, and you'll have the oven go off after the meal. A lot of people do that. Or they have the oven go off. We have the oven in my house go off for Friday night before, right before the meal. So you don't have a problem. But I would be make even to have the oven go on longer. But let's say you really want your food hot. So the oven's going to stay on to the end of the meal. So you take out one dish, you serve, let's say, the soup. But then you want the chicken still hot. So you take the soup out, you're going to close the oven. But there's fully cooked chicken in the oven. So the Shabbos kitchen would say you're not allowed to do that. That's a part of the chumra of the kobo. Others disagree, though, because it's impossible. It's a very difficult chumra to understand. Because l'maisa, let's say you're allowed to take a potato kugel and put it back on a non-adjustable hot plate Shabbos morning. Or you're allowed to put it back on whatever heating apparatus you find appetizing. Whatever one you're mako on, however you heat up food Shabbos morning, you're taking fully cooked kugel and putting it on a heating apparatus. How is that any different than closing the door of the oven on a fully cooked piece of kugel? It's no different. So if you're mako to put back potato kugel onto a non-adjustable hot plate, certainly you should be mako to close the oven door on the kugel. Because we're not afraid that there's a part that's only, that isn't cooked. Also, this would only be if you hold of the chumra of the kobo because there's a little bit that isn't cooked. If the chumra of the kobo is because stirring is part of the cooking process, so you don't begin to have this shiloh with the oven. Closing the oven door is not part of the cooking process. Okay. It's Hagasa. So I always mention it first because sometimes we never get there and it's an important topic. let's start with Shehiyah at the beginning of Reish Nun Gimel. The Sugya of Shehiyah is also at the end of the first parak of Masechah Shabbos, where the Gemara says you're not allowed to leave even you're not allowed to leave uncooked food on an open flame going into Shabbos. Why not? Because it's Gzeira Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim. Maybe I will stoke the coals in order so that the food should cook faster on Shabbos. What's the problem if you stoke the coals? So Rashi, I think, says because you're memaher the bishul, you cause the bishul to happen more quickly. Some Rishonim say it's because you're chai for havara. Whatever the Easter is, it's a problem of stoking the coals. So you're not allowed to leave uncooked food going on an open flame going into Shabbos. There's a machlokas, though, between Hanani and the Rabbanan and Perakira as to when this Easter applies. According to Hanani, it only applies if the food is not cooked. K'maychol ben derusoi. But once it's cooked, Hamayichol Ben Derusoi, then there's no chashash. And according to the Rabbanan, it has to be Mavushal called Tzarko. And then the Gemara even has a shaila that, what about according to the Rabbanan, does it even have to be Mitzdamik Viralo? Or what about even if it's Mitzdamik Viyafalo? Meaning, if the longer it cooks, does it get better? Or does it get worse? So one opinion of the Gemara is, according to the Rabbanan, you're not allowed to leave even fully cooked food that's going to get better if it cooks longer on an open flame going into Shabbos. It has to be that it's going to get worse. It's going to dry out. What is the explanation for this machlokes? So the Pashup Shad is that according to Chananya, once it's cooked, Kamaichol Ben Derusoi, since I could serve the food like that, it's a third cooked or half cooked, there's machlokes about that. But once I could serve the food like that, so then I'm not going to stoke the coals. Either way, Lamaisi could serve the food. But according to the Rabbanan, you could serve the food b'dieved like that, but nobody wants to serve the food like that. So you might come to stoke the coals, so that it'll be mavushal called sarko. So that's the machlokas between Chananya and the Rabbanan. How do we paskin? So it's two opinions in the Shulchan Aruch, Reishon and Gimel Sif Aleph, and the Shulchan Aruch is machmir like the Rabbanan. And then the Shulchan Aruch is machmir even further, that it actually has to be mistamik viralo. If it's mistamik v'yofalo, you also can't leave it on an open flame going into Shabbos, even if it's fully cooked. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, chulent. The only people who are machmir for the Shulchan Aruch are Sfardim. Sfardim don't eat chulent. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, if... maybe we should all be machmir for the Shulchan Aruch. But according to the Shulchan Aruch, cholent should always need a blech. Because cholent, even if it's fully cooked, is always mitzdamik most cholent. If it's mitzdamik v'yofalo, the longer it cooks, the more schmaltzier it gets, the better it gets, softer it gets. So then cholent would always need a blech. So the Shulchan Aruch is machmir for like the Rabbanan, he even has to be mitzdamik v'ralo. The Ramah says the minig is to be maker like Chananya, and it's mutter, once it's kemaichol ben derusoi, you can leave it on an open flame going into Shabbos. I believe Rabbi Avadi writes even the Sfardim are meiko, like the Rama. That once it's cooked, Kamaichol Ben Derusoi, you could be meiko. The Bir Halacha, though, quotes from the Rosh, that the Rosh said, we have to be meiko like Chananya, that the Ashkenazim are meiko like Chananya, that once it's cooked, Kamaichol Ben Derusoi, you could leave it on an open flame going into Shabbos, because Klal Yisrael is so adukim, ba'enek Shabbos, that they won't listen to us if we tell them to be machmer like the Rabbanon. So the Bir Halacha is medayik from the Lashon of the Rosh, that it sounds like this is a bidiyevet. Meaning, if they would really listen to us, we'd be machmer like the Rabbanon. But they won't listen to us, so we have no choice but to be meiko like Chananya. However, the Chazanish disagreed, and he said that's not the pshat in the Bir Halacha. That's not the pshat in the Rosh. The pshat in the Rosh is, so gevaldik, that Klal Yisrael is adukim ba'enek Shabbos. They love Onik Shabbos so much that they won't listen to us. Isn't that gevaldik? They love Onik Shabbos so much. So the Chazanish said it's not a limud zchus, it's a reason, and it's a wonderful reason that they're so involved in Onik Shabbos. So according to the Chazanish, the Chachilo one could be Meiko like Chananya, like the Ramah said, but the Bir Halacha thinks that the Chachilo one should be Machmir like the Rabbanon, that it should be Mavusho called Tzarko. However, within the opinion of the Bir Halacha, that one is a Chachilo supposed to be Machmir for the Rabbanon, Rabbi Eider is Medaik in the language of the Bir Halacha, that he doesn't sound like he's being Machmir so far that he even has to be Mitzdamik Viralo. It was only Machmir that has to be Mavusho called Tzarko. Because really, we make like Chananya. So even according to the Chumr of the Bir Halacha, it only has to be Mavusho called Tzarko. It doesn't have to be actually Mitzdamik Viralo. The Gemara does say, though, that there is a unique heter with regards to this Isser of Shehiyah, that one is not allowed to leave uncooked food on an open flame going into Shabbos, because you might come to stoke the coals, that if you'll have food that won't be ready either way for the meal Friday night, even if you'll stoke the coals, there's no way it's going to be ready for the meal Friday night, where the Gemara goes, Kedera Chaisa, or Kidra Chaisa, depending on your orientation. So if you put in, what is Kidra Chaisa? Kidra Chaisa is, according to the Gemara says, if you throw a piece of raw meat into the Tavshil, right before Shabbos, so that it is not cooked at all as Shabbos comes in, so then even if you stoke the coals, the meat won't be ready Friday night for the meal. So we're not afraid that you're going to stoke the coals. Either way, this thing isn't going to be ready. So then there's no problem leaving even raw food on an open flame going into Shabbos, because even if you stoke the coals, it won't be ready. This is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch over there, Reishon and Gimel Sif Aleph. The Mishnah Berurah, Sif Katan Tes, points out that this is only meat. If you have vegetables, which cook much quicker, so then you don't have this heter. But by raw meat, it seems like there is a heter, if you throw it in right before Shabbos, that you could leave it on an open flame going into Shabbos. However, the mice, most poskim are not meiko like this. They don't accept this heter of Kedera Chaisa for two reasons. The first reason is presented by the Magen Avraham, that he says that it has to be, and it's quoted by the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Yud, that it has to be, the item has to be not cooked at all when Shabbos comes in. If it's a little bit cooked, when Shabbos comes in, you don't have this heter. It has to be raw meat. So that's what the Magen Avraham says. So the Shvi says HaShabbos, and the Chazon Ish point out that nowadays we all accept Shabbos early. We accept Shabbos 18 minutes early. So when Shabbos really comes in, it's a little bit cooked. Even if you'll put it in right by lich benching, it's a little bit cooked. So when Shabbos really comes in, a little bit cooked, you'd have no idea of Kedei Rechaisa. The Shabbos Kitchen quotes a very good, I thought it was a very good svara, from the Sefer Tiferes Shmuel, that since the whole reason that it has to be raw is because I'm a salek my das from it, I'm not thinking about it, it's raw going into Shabbos, it's not going to be ready Friday night, what difference does it make when I accept Shabbos? I accept Shabbos 15 minutes early, so 18 minutes early should go based on when I accept Shabbos. It doesn't go based on when Shabbos really comes in. But most poskim don't accept that svara. Shalom Zalman, the Chazon Ish, Shvi'is Shabbos, all say, no, it actually has to be raw when real Shabbos comes in, not when I accept Shabbos. That's one reason why we don't really practice the Hetav Kedei Rechaisa. The other reason is because of a svar that Rabbi Henkin already mentions, which is that our cooking utensils are so advanced that they cook so quickly that even if you put a raw piece of flanken into your cholent, if you'll crank it up to the highest madrigas, then it will be cooked Friday night. By the time you come home, and schlep home, and the rabbi's josh, and everything Friday night, you're chosen to be ready. So that was only in those days, and no matter how high you cranked it up, it was never going to be ready Friday night. Nowadays, it will always be ready Friday night. So that's why Rabbi Willig doesn't even mention it in the shiurim, because he doesn't think it's practical to ma'isa, because our cooking utensils cook so quickly. I've heard the same thing from Rabbi Schechter as well. Rabbi Neuberger told me that he thought you could make all if it's a slow cooker. And there are, you look around in the contemporary Sfarim, many Sfarim are makel if it's like a crock pot. If it's not in a crock pot, it's on a stovetop, then they don't think you could be makel. But if it's in a crock pot, specifically a slow cooker, many would be makel, but I'd say the overwhelming psak in the yeshiva is not to be makel at all. The Bir Halacha, Rabbi Wilk also doesn't quote this because he doesn't like it, the Bir Halacha and Sif Aleph, Rabbi Masel Hashos quotes an interesting svar which he thinks he could be makel b'diyeved, or Wilk didn't even want to accept a b'diyeved, which is, let's say I declare that I don't plan on eating cholent Friday night. I may see that I never eat cholent Friday night. Let's say it doesn't fit in with my, my wife will never let me eat cholent Friday night or whatever. It's not happening. There's no cholent Friday night. So then maybe you could be makel that you could leave it on an open flame going into Shabbos, at least b'diyeved. Because there's no way we're eating it Friday night. We're masalek das. It's like Kedei Rechaisa, even though it's not raw meat. Nah, there's no way we're going to eat it Friday night. So the Be'alacha thinks you could be makel like that, but the Eved, we're really torture. There's nothing to it. The Shulchan Aruch continues, though, that the Isser of Shehiyah only applies if it's an open flame. If it's a covered flame, if it's grufa, which I think means you took the coals out, or ketuma, which means that you covered over the coals, so then there's no Isser of Shehiyah. The Mishnah Masechet Shabbos says that the Heter of Grufa Ketuma only, and this is quoted in the Shulchan Aruch, only applies by a Kira, by a stovetop, and not by a Tanur. However, the Ramah already says that our Tanurim are Kekira Shalahem. The Ramah there, Sif Alf, says our Tanurim are Kekira Shalahem, and therefore Grufa Ketuma would apply to basically all of our heating utensils. So Shehiyah is Mutter. You can leave raw food on an open flame going into Shabbos if the flame is covered. There is an interesting chumrah that is not even quoted by most contemporary Sfarim, but Shechter likes to quote it. It's out there. People who know Hilchah Shabbos know it. Is that the Rashba has a Gemara. The Gemara says in the sugya of Haggas of stirring pots that even you're not allowed to put dye in a pot, which is what they basically, that was the classical case of stirring, was they would stir dye. On Shabbos, that was what they asked, was stirring dye on Shabbos, that it sounds like from the Gemara, that's asr, even if the flame is grufa ketuma. So even though there's no chashash of shemi yachata b'gecholim, if the flame is covered, but there should be a chashash, maybe you'll come to stir the pot. You might even stir the pot while the flame is, flame covered doesn't help you from stirring the pot. Anyway, so the Rashba says that's because the item isn't cooked at all. But if we cook Kamayachu Ben Drusai, so then the covering would help. When something's not cooked at all, we're afraid you're going to stir the pot. So Rashba held that a blech only helps, Rabbi Kiva Eger quotes this on Shulchan Aruch, a blech only helps if it's at least cooked Kamayachu Ben Drusai. Not cooked Kamayachu Ben Drusai, so true, you're not going to stoke the coals, but you might come to stir the pot. So in order for a blech to help for everyone, Hananya, Rabban, Hananya wouldn't even need it, but the only time a blech helps is if it's cooked Kamayachu Ben Drusai. Not if it's raw. So Shachle says he thinks there are those who are machmir for this. He said he had one grandmother was machmir, one grandmother wasn't machmir. You could ask him, there's a whole story about it. This Rav Akiva Eger. But the mice most assume that once you have a blech, you don't have any problems of shahiyah. It doesn't have to be cooked. How does Grufo Ktuma work, though? What is the mechanics of the heter of Grufo Ktuma? So the Ran, and I would say Rav HaRishonim, understand that Grufo Ktuma works because it's a heker. It's a reminder not to stoke the coals when I see the coals are covered. Rashi says in Masechet Shabbos that Grufo Ktuma works in a different way because it lowers the heat of the coals. It's because it lowers the heat of the coals. That's why there is somewhat of a machlok as how to, whether or not what we call a blech, really works. The source for the precedent for the halacha of a blech to allow shahiyah is over here in Siv Gimel, where the Shulchan Aruch says if a person wakes up in the morning and he sees that his tavshil is drying out, so he can take an empty pot, put it over the fire, and put his tavshil on top of the fire. That's by Achazara. But you see that an empty pot could be considered Grufo Ktuma. So an empty pot. So, okay, if an empty pot is Grufo Ktuma, then a flat piece of metal also should be Grufo Ktuma. That's where the modern concept of a blech comes from. The Mishnah Berurah points it out there. Sivka and Pei Aleph. You could just put a metal pan, and that will be Grufo Ktuma. So Ramosha says, and the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa both say, I think Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa says the meaning of Yerushalayim, was to use a flat piece of metal as a blech. The problem is the flat piece of metal doesn't lower the heat. The flat piece of metal serves as a reminder not to stoke the coals, but it doesn't lower the heat. So Ramosha and the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chasa both say, we don't accept Rashi's pshat. Rashi's pshat that Grufo Ktuma works because it lowers the heat, we don't pass it like that. We pass in the real reason for Grufo Ktuma as a heker, and the metal blech serves that purpose. However, the Chazon Ish disagrees, and he thinks we should pass him like Rashi, that in order to be Grufo Ktuma, you have to lower the heat. So he says an empty pot lowers the heat because you're far away from the flame. But a flat blech doesn't work to lower the heat. So the Chazon Ish thinks a flat blech is not called Grufo Ktuma. Besides, which the Chazon Ish points out that there's no heker at all. He thinks there's not even a heker. He says we cook that all the time. If you go into one of these restaurants over here on Amsterdam Avenue and you order eggs, they make it on what it looks exactly like a blech. So Chazon Ish says, oh, we cook on blechs all the time. So Chazon Ish thinks a flat blech is no good. But the minig is clearly to be makel. Now we accept that the pshat of Grufo Ktuma is because it serves as a heker, not because it lowers the heat. The Aruch HaShabbos quotes from Shlomo Zalman that aluminum foil doesn't work. Why? Because also, he says a flat blech, okay, maybe he says, maybe we hold like Rashi also, but a flat blech, maybe that lowers the heat. But aluminum foil, that does nothing. But the Shabbos kitchen and Shabbos Kochas, the most poskim are mako that, not like that of Shlomo Zalman, that tin foil also works. We don't pass like Rashi at all. The whole point of a blech is not to lower the heat, and it's to serve as a heker to remind you not to stoke the coals. And therefore, any tin foil also would work. But because it's there to serve as a heker to remind you not to stoke the coals, you can't leave it there all the time. Sometimes people, let's say, have a crock pot, and you need to cover the dials, make a blech on the crock pot. So it's a big ordeal to put tin foil in your crock pot. So you do one Shabbos. Then you're like, oh my gosh, I'm not doing this next Shabbos. So you just leave the tinfoil like that to the next week. Or a caterer, let's say, has a hot box, but he needs to cover the dial. So he makes a whole contraption over there with the tinfoil, and he says, oh, I'll just leave it like that to the next week. Haimish. So can you do that? The problem is, I heard some poskim say that that might be a problem, because the whole purpose of the blech is to remind you not to stoke the coals, because it's something that's out of the ordinary. If that's the way the crockpot always looks, I've never even seen the crockpot. It's always covered by tinfoil. So then maybe you can't call that a hecker. It's always like that. So the poskim say, if you don't use it during the week, you can be making like that on Shabbos. But if you use the hot box during the week, which sometimes happens, if you use a hot box, let's say, during the week, and you leave the tinfoil there during the week, then the tinfoil doesn't work come Shabbos. But yeah, you're right. Also, because of this, if you have an item which has, it's naturally a covered flame, like a modern heating utensil, like a crock pot, you can't see the coils inside. It's covered by the plastic that's always there. That also doesn't serve as a covering. Again, because that's not a covered flame. It's always like that. A covered flame means that it's something out of the ordinary, and therefore it serves as a covered flame. But if it's always like that, meaning it's part of the way the item is constructed, so then that's not a good svar at all. You'll hear some poskim call that maybe think of the yevet, yigvimeko, I can't see the coils. Or we'll thought it's nothing, there's absolutely nothing there. It's always like that, so there's no hecker. So you can't call that a covered flame. Rav Tzvi Beis Frank, yeah, Rav Tzvi Beis Frank, Rav Moshe, Rav Shlomo Zalman, all are of the opinion that an item which you cannot physically adjust, there is no knob, it's non-adjustable. So that's called a covered flame. Even though there's nothing unusual about it, because that's the way it always looks, but if you can't adjust the coal, you can't adjust the flames, then perhaps that's not called, that's already comes Grufo Ketuma. However, they quote in the name of Rabbi Yashiv, and Rabbi Will quote in the name of Reuben Feinstein, that he thought that was the opinion of Rav Moshe, was that, no, we should treat that's not called a covered flame. A covered flame has to have something unique about it, has to have something on it. If it's always like that, just because it's non-adjustable, that's not even called a covered flame. And you'd have to put an additional covering on it. I would say generally most poskim are mako on that, not like Rabbi Yashiv or like Reuven quotes in the name of Moshe. So therefore, let's say you want to have an urn or a non-adjustable hot plate, which we'll get to Achazara later, but it shouldn't be a problem for Shehiya, let's say, to leave uncooked food on a hot plate, but then it's not going to cook on the hot plate. But we do this all the time by Shabbos urns. A person puts up the water right before Shabbos. According to Rabbi Will, you have to put it up way before because you have to tip it over. But if you go with the brownie in motion, so then you could put up an urn right before Shabbos. Ooh, but you're doing Shehiyah because it's an uncovered flame. There's nothing unique about it. It always looks like that. So you have to say, well, since it's non-adjustable, it's called a covered flame. So you can put up water right before Shabbos because it's a non-adjustable thing. I used to think I had a personal chumrah. Maybe if there's a reboil button, that should be called an uncovered flame, because it has like Grufo Ketuma. It's you know, you could be Shem Yichat V'Gachom. Rabbi Will thought I was, he laughed at me. So.
You don't think I'm that?
I don't think so, no. I thought, why not? But if I remember correctly, I asked Rabbi Will about it, he laughed. So. Okay. That's what happens when you learn these things for too long.
Finally, she
tossed
it. You shake it before.
Yeah, you shake it before. What do you have to cover? So that's since Ramosha writes that that you have to cover the fire, because you're going to look at the fire to see, is it hot enough, is it not hot enough? So Ramosha holds that the Iker, again, the whole point of a blech is to remind you not to stoke the coals, so you put the covering over the coals, the way it was always done traditionally, that they covered the coals, so do now, we have to cover the fire. So Ramosha holds the Iker blech is just to cover the fire. Ramosha says, if you can cover the dials too, matayv. But Rav Moshe holds that the Iker is to cover the fire. Rav Aaron Cutler held that the Iker was to cover the dials, because when you look at the fire, you're going to come to stoke the coals, and you're going to stoke the dials. You're going to turn the dials. So he held the Iker was to cover the dials. I would say most are Mako like Rav Moshe, that as long as the fire is covered, that's okay. But those are Machmef like Rav Aaron. Rav Aaron, though, comes out a big kula. Because once you say, Tanurim Shalonu Kikira Shalahem, let's say you want to leave uncooked food in an oven going into Shabbos, where it's going to cook on Shabbos. You have mamish the freshest chicken on the block. It's cooked as you're at shul. So can you do such a thing? Well, you can't have an... It's always going to be an uncovered flame. So I guess if it's cooked k'maychol ben drusoy, you could do it. But if it's not cooked k'maychol ben drusoy, you can't really do it. So you could, well, just cover the flame. So according to Ramosha, in order to cover the flame in an oven, you need a big thing. You need like an oven box that people used to have on Pesach. Nobody has an oven box anymore. You can't even find them. So according to Ramosha, you really can't do this unless you're really going to be making like Hananya that is cooked Kamaichel Ben Dusai, and the chicken is partially cooked going into Shabbos. But other than that, you really can't leave raw chicken in an oven going into Shabbos. However, according to Rav Aaron, that Grufo Ketuma means you cover the dials so you can have Grufo Ketuma in an oven. Just cover the dials. So Aaron comes out a big kula.
What does Rav Aaron have to say about that?
I think he holds the Iker is the fire, as far as I know. Rav Shlomo Zalman holds, yeah.
So you use like a Shabbos
oven?
What? You can't change anything when there's no buttons.
You can change it. Just push more buttons. It's not non-adjustable. You're not going to do it because those are on Shabbos, but if you're not going to do that because those are on Shabbos, you don't have any of these problems. Rav Shlomo Zalman writes in the Mincha Shlomo that pulling off the knobs is not considered to be Grufo Ketuma. And that's what Rabbi Will called. However, I discovered, I don't know why Rabbi Will doesn't quote it, but in the end of the Archa Shabbos, he has some chuvas from Rav Vazna. Rav Vazna there holds pulling off the knobs is okay. I think everyone holds it a little note on the oven, you know, don't stoke the coals. That doesn't work. You know. But or to tie a red string around your finger also doesn't work. But to pull off the knobs, some hold does work. The Ramon, Simin Reish Nundalat Sifah Aleph, quotes from the Gemara that if it's tach betit, if it's covered in clay, plaster, the coals are sealed off, or the dial is sealed off, so then there's that's mutter to do shahia. That's called grufuk tuma. So the Orcha Shabbos quotes this by we mentioned according to Ramashi, you can't have grufuk tuma in an oven, or even in a warming drawer. How are you going to make grufuk tuma? Or in a hot box, how are you going to make grufuk tuma? So it's going to be a big deal. We're going to get to that later by Achazara. How are you going to do that? So Wilk used to say, line the warming drawer with tinfoil and have a lip of tinfoil coming out that it reminds you, and then cover the dial too, because the dial sometimes is removed from the drawer. He talked about this. That's what he used to say. To have a lip of tinfoil running, cover the bottom and run out so that you see it before you open the drawer, and it's also covering the dial. So in a hot box too, in a shul, as I'm offering that they do in my shul, if they want to use the hot box to return things to the hot box, that you have to cover, have a lip of tinfoil covering out and covering the dial. It's a big thing to cover the thing, whole thing with tinfoil. However, the Orcha Shabbos says perhaps a different hat there would be to be tach betit. He thinks that if you have a few pieces of tape over the dial, so that you can't turn the dial unless you remove the tape. If it's one little piece of scotch tape, you can turn the dial with the scotch tape. That doesn't work. It has to be that you have to remove the tape in order to turn the dial. He says a few pieces of tape. So then that would be called tach betit. And you wouldn't have to have necessarily the whole tinfoil contraption. That's basically the story for HaChazara. All the rules for what's called Gufuk Tuma will be the same for HaChazara. When we get to HaChazara, we'll assume that everyone knows that. But it's really primarily the discussion of Gufuk Tuma has to do with Shahia. But even if one... yeah?
Sorry, just the tinfoil on the tape. That's just the remotion of color thing that you want to cover the...
No, then you've prevented... I'm not sure what the difference is between why removing the dial is any different than tach betit. I don't know why.
What's the deal with covering the tinfoil inside the and outside the lid?
That would be like a typical blech. That's like an oven box.
Because the flame is originally covered, and that's how it normally
yeah.
works.
Yeah, and but then we will tell that you have to cover the dial medina by the warming drawer because the dial is often removed from the drawer.
Okay, so you might do that separate, independently from that.
But he thought that was like an oven box. But there's another heter, another mahalech, which would be tach betit.
Wouldn't need to cover the flame.
I don't think so. No.
Oh, fine. That's how they're
set. Right. I'm not sure why removing the dials then isn't tach betit, but maybe that's where Vosner holds. I don't know. That's all. This is all talking about the initial shahia. But then there's another isa of hachazar with that, and this is only non-fully cooked food. But then there's another isa of hachazar, which is has to do with even fully cooked food. But what does hachazar mean? Like returning, it means returning. Returning to where? Like Yom Noroim, we do tshuva. So the basic question is, we're doing tshuva, we're returning. Where are we returning to? Everyone asks. Where are we returning to? So Sot over here, where are we returning to? So the answer is, we're returning to the initial shahia. There's a shahia Friday night. We're only talking about food that was on the flame Friday night going into Shabbos. If it wasn't on the flame Friday night going into Shabbos, that's not a discussion of HaChazara. That's a discussion of Nesina Mechadash, or Hanacha B'tchila, whatever you want to call it. But that is not a discussion of HaChazara. HaChazara means the food was on the flame, Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos. Then I took it off. Now I want to put it back on. I'm returning to the initial Shehiya. That's Aser too. Even though it's fully cooked. That is Aser. Why is that Aser? Why is that Aser? So the Sha'arat Zion and Sifkatan Lamed Zion quotes a machlokas between the Ran and the Rabbeinu Tam. Why is that also? According to Rabbeinu Tam, it's also because Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim. What Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim? It's fully cooked. The answer is yeah, but it cooled off. When I took it off the flame, and now I want to put it back on, so I took it off. Now it cooled off in between. I want to heat it back up, so I'll come to stoke the coals again. According to the Ran, it's not also because of Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim, it's also because of Mechzi Kimavasho. Here I am, a guy walks into my house, he sees me putting food on a flame on Shabbos. Hey, Gevalt, it looks like I'm cooking. So the Ran says, it's not also because of Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim, it's also, it's not a Marasayan, it's a Bishul Midrabanan. That it's not also because of Shemi Yechata B'Gecholim, it's also because of Bishul Midrabanan, or Mechzi Kimavasho. How do we paskin on this issue? One second. The other, did we mention this yet? No. Hachazarah is mutter if it's gufo k'tuma, if the flame is covered. If the flame is covered, how does that help? So according to Rabbeinu Tam, we understand how that helps. Because just like Shehiya, the chashash Hashem yechata b'kacholim, you might come to stoke the coals, but if you cover the flame, it reminds you not to stoke the coals. According to the Ran, that the Isra of Hachazarah is because it looks like Bishol, or is Bishol midrabanan, so what you have to say is when there's a blech there, it doesn't look like you're cooking. Everyone will know that you're putting back on fully cooked food. And everyone will know that you're not cooking uncooked food. So there's no mechzi kimavasho if it's a covered flame. So grufok tumah is also, Hachazarah is also mutter if it's grufok tumah. How do we paskin? What is the yisod of the Isra of Hachazarah? Is it because Shem Yechad b'gecholm, or is it also because of mechzi kimavasho? So there's a famous Or Sameach, who writes that he thinks this machlokas harishon between the Ran and the Rabbeinu Tam expresses itself in two other areas. And perhaps that will be our litmus test, as Rabbi Willig thought, that will be our litmus test and how we should paskin with regards to this machlokas between the Ran and the Rabbeinu Tam. The first place where the Or Sameach thinks that this machlokas the Ran and the Rabbeinu Tam expresses itself is with regards to what Rabbi Willig called Shehiyah Hachazarah Mei Erev Shabbos. What is Hachazarah Mei Erev Shabbos? Tosfos says, If I have fully cooked food, Erev Shabbos, but I put it on an open flame going into Shabbos, it's fully cooked, but it's cold, or I don't put it on in time, even if it's not cold, I don't put it on in time before Shabbos that I would have time to heat up if it were cold. Let's say I have a potato kugel, and I'm rushing Erev Shabbos, and I put it on right before Shabbos. So according to Tosos, that is usur because it's usur Erev Shabbos. We'll have to discuss why in a second. But it's us, Erev Shabbos. Tosfos holds you're not allowed to put food on, even fully cooked food, on an open flame, Erev Shabbos, going into Shabbos, unless it will have time to have heated up if it were cold. And the Ran holds that there's no such Isur of Hachazarah Mei Erev Shabbos, returning fully cooked food, Erev Shabbos, to the flame. Why do they call it returning? It's because it's fully cooked. That's why. It was once on the flame to get cooked. And you're returning it to the flame again before Shabbos. The Ran holds there's no such Isur of Hachazarah Mei Erev Shabbos. I think you can put it on right before Shabbos, even if it's cold. As long as it's fully cooked, you can put it on an open flame right before Shabbos. So Or Sameach says he thinks this machlokas between Tosfos and the Ran depends on the Lishitosam and how you understand the Isur of Hachazarah. If the Isur of Hachazarah is Shem Yechat B'Gecholim, so then you can't put cold food on an open flame, even if it's fully cooked, going into Shabbos, because I might come to stoke the coal, so it'll heat up. But according to the Ran, that the Isur of Hachazarah is because of Mechzi Kimavasho, so he says, whoever heard of a Isur of Mechzi Kimavasho on Friday? It's because it looks like Bishol. But the whole Yisod is only when I put it on. When I put it on, it doesn't look like Bishol, so then I'm fine. And here, when I put it on, it's Friday. It's not Shabbos. So how could there be an Isur of Bishol midrabanan on Friday? So according to Tosfos, that it's one of Shem Yechad B'Gecholim, you could have an Isur even on Friday because I might come to stoke the coals on Shabbos. According to Tosfos, it's not only related to the first minute that you put it on, it's related to the continuing status on an open flame on Shabbos, and I might come to stoke the coals later when I see that it's cold. How do we paskin on that issue? It didn't have time to get warm if it would have been cold.
Right.
That's Beferish in the look in the Mishnah Berurah.
No worry about.
Well, there is, because we treat that like a cold item. The fact that it happens to be cold doesn't have to be, again, they didn't have refrigerators, so it's we're talking about room temperature stuff. It has to be that it would have had time to heat up were it cold. That's what it says in Mishnah Berurah. You go get it. So how do we paskin on that issue? Will be how we paskin on with regards to what is the nature of Isur of Hachazarah. So the Ramah, the Shulchan Aruch is meiko, like the Ran, that there's no Isur of Hachazarah Mei Erev Shabbos. Rabbi Wilg understood that the Shulchan Aruch just took sides on this major issue, and he assumes that the Isur of Hachazarah is because of Shem of Mechzi Kimavasho. And the Ramah, in the end of Sif Bey, says that it's Tov LaHachmer. One should be try and be Machmer in the issue of Hachazarah Mei Erev Shabbos, and from that Rabbi Wilg deduced that the Ramah was taking sides that the Isur of Hachazarah is one of Shem Yechat B'Gecholim. The other time that this issue, the Or Sameach, links it to a separate issue is the issue of smicha. The Gemara has a shayla, mahu lismoch, is one allowed to do smicha? What is smicha? Smicha means you put it next to the fire. I don't put it on the fire, I put it next to the fire. So the Gemara has a shayla, mahu lismoch, are you allowed to do smicha or not? So the Gemara comes to the conclusion you are allowed to do smicha. Smicha is mutter. So the machlokas harishonim, what is smicha mutter with regards to? So the opinion of the Rif is that smicha is only mutter with regards to shahia. But hachazara, to put something back next to the flame, no, that's usher. And Tosfos holds no. When the Gemara said mahu lismoch, it wasn't only talking about shahia, it was talking about hachazara too. Hachazara too, you can put it right next to the flame. So the Or Sameach understands that the Rif is following the opinion of the Ran, that hachazara is also because of mechzikim of asho. So he thinks, one can make argument with this, but he thinks that there's mechzikim of asho even next to the flame. But if it's an issue of shemi echata begecholim, so then shemi echata begecholim is only if it's on the coals. If it's next to the coals, there's no issue of shemi echata begecholim. One could argue just the opposite, but that's what the Or Sameach says. So he says, this issue of smicha, whether smicha is mutter by hachazara or not, depends on this issue too, of whether hachazara is also because of mechzikim of asho, which would exist next to the coals, or it's also because of shemi echata begecholim, which does not exist next to the coals. We paskin that hachazara is mutter besmicha. You'll get to it. It's a Mishnah Berurah, a whole long Mishnah Berurah, complicated. We'll talk about it a little bit later. But the Mishnah Berurah holds that hachazara is mutter by smicha. So we will thought also, you see from here, that really we paskin that hachazara is because of shemi echata begecholim. That's why lechatchila we're machmir for hachazara meir of Shabbos, and that's why we are mekel by smicha for hachazara. That's why we are mekel by smicha for hachazara. So hachazara is also because of shemi echata begecholim. That issue is now closed. What does hachazara mean, though? Again, hachazara means you're returning to the initial shahiyah. So the Gemara has an important discussion with regards to pina mimecham lemecham. Hachazara is only if you're returning to the initial shahiyah, but does it have to be the same? Let's say, so I take it off the fire, let's say I serve, now I want to put it back on the fire. So that's hachazara, it has to be a covered flame in order to be mutter. So the Gemara is a shiloh, do I have to put it back on the same fire? Let's say I take it off of one fire, now I want to put it on a different fire. Is that called hachazara? Is that called nesina mechadosh? Because I'm not putting it on the same fire that I took it off. That's pina mimechem lemechem, putting from one heating utensil to another one. So that, in fact, is a machlokas harishonim, whether or not that's called returning, or that's called nesina mechadosh, because it's not the same fire. The Sharatzian is of cut in Mem Zayin, quotes him, argues with him. I think the Magen Avraham is machmir. And the Sharatzi and the Sifkat and Mem Zayin is Mekel. That you are allowed to do that. Pina Mimechem Lemechem is allowed. The Shulchan Aruch and Sif Dalet quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah that this is the Shiloh, by the way, that always comes up if you want to add water to Chulent. Why? You're taking water out of an urn and you're adding it, putting it to a Chulent. So you're taking it from one heating source to put on another heating source. That's, you're taking the water from one heating place to another heating place. That's pina mimechem lemechem. So the Shulchan Aruch and Sif Dalet quotes from Rabbeinu Yonah, who's discussing people who would leave hot water in an urn, like they would be matmin hot water before Shabbos, in a thermos, and then they wanted to add that hot water on Shabbos to their cholent. So Rabbeinu Yonah said we have to be mocha on those people who are adding hot water to their cholent, even though that's not pina mimechem lemechem, that's adding the water to the cholent. Rabbeinu Yonah says we shouldn't allow them to do that on Shabbos. So if you look there in the Mishnah Berurah, Sifkat and Peidalet, he says the reason we shouldn't allow them to do it is because maybe the water is not hot anymore. Maybe the water cooled down. But it sounds like if the water would be hot, and there would be no problem of Bishul, that it would be allowed. So poskim, the Beis Yosef quotes from the Rashba, that if the water is hot, you're allowed to add water, I think from one heating source to another heating source, to put it into the cholent. Rabbeinu Yonah says you're not supposed to add water to cholent because he's afraid the water is not hot. But he also quotes from Rashba that if you know that it is hot, then it should be allowed. However, the Beis Yosef, the Rashba says a different problem. The Rashba says when you add the water to the cholent, it's coming from one heat source to another heat source, so we'll make on that. But now when you're adding the water, and when the water is hot, that we know. But the problem is when you add the water to the cholent, the Rashba is worried about maybe you're stirring the cholent when you add the water. So therefore, Rabbi Eider suggests that in order to add the water to the cholent, you have to take the cholent pot off the fire. So let's say you bring the cholent pot to the urn, add the water from the urn to the cholent pot, so it's off the fire when you add the water, and then put the cholent back. Shmir Shabbos Kochasa says, no, as long as you pour the water in slowly, you don't have to be afraid that you're cooking the cholent when you pour the water in. Shmir Shabbos Kolchasa also says that you can put the water in a mug to bring it from the urn to the cholent pot. But then he quotes from Rosh Hashanah, and maybe that's not like Pina Mimechem Mamechem. Pina Mimechem Mamechem means that I take, let's say, an old style tea kettle, teapot, from one fire and put it on a different fire. But the same kli that was on this fire, I'm putting on this fire. That's Pina Mimechem Mamechem. Here, I'm taking the water and putting it into a klisheni in between, and then putting it into the cholent pot. Maybe once I put it in a klisheni, since klisheni ain't a mevashel, it lost its connection with the original esh entirely. That's not pinam imechem lemechem. That's like a hefsek in the middle. That's like it went for a stroll in the middle. So Shlomo Zalman wasn't sure about that. Rabbi Eider is machmir that you can't put it into a mug in between. He thinks you can't bring the water to the pot. You have to bring the mountain to Muhammad. You have to bring the cholent to the urn. Maybe that's the best eitzah anyway, because then you don't have a problem with stirring. The problem is, if you take your cholent out, according to Rabbi Wilg, you can't put your cholent back in. And the other problem is, Stam, I never understood. I've always meant to ask Rabbi Wilg about this. According to Rabbi Wilg, maybe this is why he also recommends to have the flat West Bend crock pot, because if you have it, according to Rabbi Wilg, when you take the water out of the urn, now you want to pour it into a cholent pot, that's like hachazara l'tocho. It's like you're putting inside. The water was inside, but now you're putting the water inside a different, that's hachazara l'tocho. Should be also too. I don't know. I have to ask him about that. But either way, that's the shayla pinam imechem lemechem. Generally speaking, we're makel that you can take water from one heating source, put in another heating source. So that's why most are makel that you can take water from the urn, and most are makel even to put it in a mug and then to put it into the cholent. Should it be fine as long as you pour it softly. Doesn't have to be to the same heating source. As we've been alluding to numerous times, the Isser of Hachazar is because of Shami Echadu B'Gecholim, but even when Hachazar is allowed, and it's Gufo Ktuma and everything, the Shulchan Aruch says in Sif Beis that Gufo Ktuma only helps if it's Hachazar on top of a heating source. If it's Hachazar to inside of a heating source, to Tocho, so that's also even if it is Gufo Ktuma. Gufo Ktuma won't help you here. The Mishnah Berurah in Sifka Nun Ches understands that this Isser is because it looks like Bishul. Here I am taking fully cooked food and putting it inside of an oven. That looks like Bishul because the heat of the oven is greater than the heat on top of the stovetop. It's Rav Hevle, says the Shulchan Aruch. It says the Mishnah Berurah. So therefore, there's a greater Masikim of Ashel. But Willard pointed out, even though he thinks Hachazara is generally Yasa because of Shami Yechad B'Cholim, this part of the Isser of Hachazara, Hachazara L'Tocho, is Aser because of Masikim of Ashel. So how do we get, this is a big problem. So Rabbi Willard quoted from Byron Cutler that Byron Cutler suggested that perhaps there's no concept of Tocho anymore. The whole concept of Tocho was not only because it was Rav Havle, like the Mishnah Berurah says, where Byron claimed that the Isser of Hachazara, that the whole concept of a Tocho is when there's a primary way to cook things and a secondary way to cook things. The primary way to cook things for them was in the Tanur. The second best was the Kira. So when you have a primary and a secondary, so then to do Hachazara at the inside of the primary form of cooking would be yasser, even if it's a covered flame. However, if Aaron claimed nowadays people cook in the oven just like they cook on top of the stovetop, we don't have a primary way of cooking, so to speak, so there would be no issue of hachazara l'tocho at all. So you could return to inside of an oven like you could return to inside of a heating utensil just like you could return to on top. However, Rav Moshe and Rabbi Willig thought that we shouldn't accept a Aaron's svara. It has nothing to do with primary or secondary. There's a separate easter of returning to inside of cooking utensils, as opposed to on top, because of Rav Havle is somehow a greater Mexican of Ashel. So that's what Rabbi Willig thought. We mentioned you should serve your cholent from in the cholent pot. You shouldn't take the cholent pot out, because once you take the cholent pot out, you can't put the cholent pot back in. That's why the warming drawer should present a greater problem, or a hot box should present an even greater problem of hachazara. If you want to return items to a warming drawer, return items to a hot box, you should have an even greater problem than on top of a stovetop. But that's why Rabbi Wilk made the point that if the issue of hachazara l'tocho is not also because of Shem Yechad B'Chom, it's also because of Mexikim of Ashel, it looks like you're cooking, then he suggests that perhaps there's no Mexikim of Ashel by a warming drawer or a caterer's hot box where nothing gets cooked, or it's supposed to get cooked in the hot box or the warming drawer. It would only be if it's an oven where things get cooked, because the whole issue is one of Masi Kimavasha. What comes out is something interesting, though. If you put all the Rabbi Aarons together, if you're a real Lakewood person, so then what comes out is that you could do Hachazara to inside of an oven. because there's no issue of tocho, because he thinks that the inside of the oven is the same as on top, and according to Reb Aaron, you could do grufuk tum in an oven, just cover the dials. So according to Reb Aaron, you could do hachazara to inside of an oven. It's important to keep these things in mind. You go to some people's houses, you see they do X, Y, and Z. Oh, passing like Reb Aaron. It's a good spot. So that's the issue with hachazara. If the item was not on the flame Friday going into Shabbos, or it was on the flame Friday going into Shabbos, but it lost its connection with the initial Shehiyah, it somehow got lost from the initial Shehiyah, so then we have the issue of Hanach B'Tchila or Hanach or Nesina Mechadash. That's if it was never on the flame going Friday night going into Shabbos, or it was, but it lost its connection with the initial Shehiyah. We're going to discuss in a second how one could lose the connection with the initial Shehiyah. But when the modern Hilchos Shabbos Sfarim talk about the five conditions of a Hachazara, or maybe your wife, who knows the Hilchos Bisho a little bit more than we do, because they learned about it in yeshiva or in seminary and we didn't, so they all know there's five conditions of Hachazara. So the five conditions of Hachazara, now that we're a little bit more educated, we know that there are not really five conditions of Hachazara. There are five conditions, practically, it's true, to put things back on a heating utensil Shabbos morning, but they are not all because of Hachazara. They might be because of the semantics are incorrect. Why, for example, the first condition of Hachazara is that it be Grufuk Tumah. So that is the one condition that is solely a condition of Hachazara, of returning, is Grufuk Tumah. That's true. The second one that they all talk about, huh? Shehiyah too, right, because Hachazara just means you had an initial Shehiyah. If you never had an initial Shehiyah, it'd be okay. But you could have Mavushal called Sarko, where you wouldn't need Grufuk Tumah for Shehiyah, and then you only need it for Hachazara purposes. So the first condition of Hachazara is that it be Grufuk Tumah. That's the only one, really, that has to do with Hachazara, per se. The second condition of returning items, putting items on a heating utensil Shabbos morning, is that the Ramah says over here, Sif Beis, is that it has to be Mavushal called Sarko. Mavushal called Sarko has nothing to do with Hachazara or Hanachom Mitchil or Nisina Mechadash. It's an Easter of Bishol. So the Bir Halacha says, if it's, this is a, because we paskin like the Rambam in Shin Yud Ches, that everything has to be Mavushal called Sarko. That if it's Mavushal Kamachal Ben Drusai, where we started off our whole journey, if it's Mavushal Kamachal Ben Drusai, but then you cook it off, cook it further, there's an Easter of Bishol beyond that, like the Rambam. So here too, it has to be Mavushal called Sarko. That's the first condition. That has to do with Bishul. The second, the third, Grufuk Tumah is Hachazara. Mavushal called Tzarek is an Isser of Bishul. The third condition of Hachazara, to put things back on a heating utensil Shabbos morning, is that it has to be Odenu Cham, still hot. Or Lo Nitzdan in Legamrei. That's quoted here by the Ramah, Sif Beis, and Reshon and Gimel, Sif Beis and Sif Hei. Again, the Mishneh Berurah quotes from the Gra, the Mishneh Berurah and Sifka and Sadi Aleph, quotes from the Gra, that has nothing to do with Nesina Mechadash, nothing to do with Hachazara, that's an issue of Bishul. We're talking about liquids. Liquids have to be hot. Why do liquids have to be hot? Because if the liquid is cooled down, we're machmer, that Yesh Bishul, Hacha Bishul, but Dovalach. So it can't be Nistanu Lagamre, because that's the Ramah's old position, that if it's Nistanu Lagamre, you could reheat the liquid. But that also is an issue of Bishul, not necessarily an issue of Hachazara or Nesina Mechadash. The Bir Halacha, over there, Diver Maskel Uvilvad, quotes from Amogen Avram, that this is in fact the first condition to retain your connection with the initial Shehiyah. This is the first condition that's called not losing your connection with the initial Shehiyah, that it was on the flame Friday going into Shabbos, that you can't lose your connection with the initial Shehiyah, is that it's still hot from the initial Shehiyah. In which case, the Magen Avraham holds, it applies to kugels, it applies to chicken. If you want to put it back on a heating utensil Shabbos morning, it has to still be hot. The Magen Avraham. If you pass like the Magen Avraham, a lot of our kulas would be a lot more difficult to negotiate. But the Mishneh Berurah thinks we should paskin like the Gra. Most poskin paskin like the Gra. We don't accept this Magen Avraham, generally speaking. That the fact that it has to be hot is in order to retain a connection with the initial Shehiyah. No, we hold that that's the fact that it has to be hot is a Bishul issue, and it would only apply to liquids, it doesn't apply to solids. So first, the only condition of Hachazara really is the fact that it'd be Grufuk Tumah. Mavushal called Tzarka Nodenu Cham seem to be an issue of Bishul. The final two conditions in order to put food on a heating utensil Shabbos morning are Oda B'yado and Daito L'Hachzir, and those are not really conditions of Hachazara. Those are in order, I mean, they are practically, but not semantically. Those are in order so you should retain a connection with the initial Shehiyah. That if it was on the flame Friday going into Shabbos, So if you don't have it still in your hand, or you don't have in mind to put it back, then you've lost your connection with the initial Shehiyah. Then this initial Shehiyah is over, and that's not called Hachazar anymore, that's called Nesina Mechadosh, and that's going to be Usher even on a covered flame. But what are the details of Oda B'Yado and Daita L'Hachzir? So the Gemara says in Maseches Shabbos that in order to put something back on a flame, Shabbos, even if it's a covered flame, it can't be Heinicho Agabe Karko. You could not have put it on the ground. If you put it on the ground, you lost your connection with the initial Shehiyah, and you can't put it back even on a covered flame. Then there are two Lashinas in the Gemara, whether or not you need Daita L'Hachzir or you don't need Daita L'Hachzir. L'Chadchigo, the Shulchan Aruch requires both. That you could not have put it on the ground, and you need Daita L'Hachzir. However, the Bir Halacha says, since it's two Lashinas in the Gemara, if you could be makel that if you didn't put it on the ground, or we'll call Oda B'Yado in a second, you didn't put it on the ground, even if you didn't have Daita L'Hachzir, you could be makel. As long as it's still in your hand or whatever, you didn't put it on the ground, you could be makel, even if you didn't have Daita L'Hachzir, because that's really two Lashinas in the Gemara. The other way, you can't be makel. If you just had Daito L'Hachzir, but you put it on the ground, that doesn't work like that, because the putting on the ground was Muskum L'Kol in the Gemara. The only two opinions were about Daito L'Hachzir. So the Be'er Halacha says, if you didn't have Daito L'Hachzir, B'di'evit, you could be Mekol. Do you actually have to put it on the ground? So the Shulchan Aruch holds, yes, the only time you lose your connection with the initial Shehiyah is if you put it on the ground. The Ramah adds that, no, you need Oda B'Yado. What's the nafkamina? So the Mishnah of the Bir Halacha explains, the Ramah is saying, even if you put it on a bench, even if you put it on a chair, that's not, you lost your connection with the initial Shehiyah. That's like putting it on the ground. The Shulchan Aruch holds, if you put it on a chair, you put it on a bench, that's okay. It's only if you put it on the ground. The Ramah holds, no, you need it in your hand. If you put it on a bench, that would be a problem. So according to the Ramah, you still need it in your hand. The Poskim say you don't actually have to have it suspended in mid-air. That's a hard thing. It means you just are holding on to the pot. It could be resting on the counter, but you're holding on to the pot. Why do we treat countertops? Are countertops called karka, or countertops called like the chair? So that's an interesting question. So the Shlomo Zalman and Rabbi Yashiv are quoted as saying that countertops are treated like the chair. That's not like the ground. So if you put it on the Shulchan Aruch would be Mako. If you put it on the on a countertop, he would only be Machmir if you put it on the ground. The Bir Halacha says that if you put a few things together, you can be Mako too. If you had Daito L'Hachzir and you put it on a countertop, even if your hand wasn't still on it, then you could put it back. This happens a lot of times. People don't know you're supposed to keep your hand on it, but they put it on the countertop, but they had in mind to put it back. So Bir Halacha says we can put a lot of kulas together. Another one, you had Daito L'Hachzir. The Shulchan Aruch says if you put it on a countertop, that's like not putting it on the ground. That's like putting it on a chair. So Shulchan Aruch would be Meiko. So as long as you put it on a chair or the modern countertop, and you had in mind to put it back, so then that would be you could do that.
You would Rosh Chazan?
Yeah.
What about a fridge?
Chazan Ish goes one step. I don't think so. That's like the ground. That's the ground. That's worse than the ground. And it's done. Put it in the fridge, you're done. You don't use that extra counter. Maybe in apartments in Washington Heights have no counter space. Maybe they use the fridge as counter space. I don't think so. Chazon Ish goes one step further. Chazon Ish says that you can be make like the Shulchan Aruch, B'Shas Archach, you make like the Shulchan Aruch, that even if you didn't have in mind to put it back, as long as it's still on the countertop, you could put it back. Bir Halacha doesn't go that far. Bir Halacha says if you had Daito L'Hachzir and it's on the counter, you could use the Shulchan Aruch together with Daito L'Hachzir. Chazon Ish goes one step further. And he says, if it's just on the countertop, you could be mekel.
You use that chazan ish if you mix up pots?
Huh?
Could you use that chazan ish if you mix up pots? Let's say you mix up a chillin pot with a soup pot.
I will get that in a second. So there's a big machlokas, though. There's a big machlokas with regards to how to understand this idea of daito l'hachzir. The Shabbos Kitchen quotes this, a lomdish machlokas, between what he puts it all together, between Rabbi Kiva Eger and Rav Shach, and the Avi Yezri. What's the halacha of stam das? Let's say the husband takes the pot off. He's not thinking anything. The wife says, take it off. So he takes it off. He doesn't know what to think. He doesn't know what he's putting it back on. He's not putting it back on. And she tells him, take it off, and he takes off the wrong pot. He doesn't know. He says, oh, take off this. He takes off that. So what's the halacha of stam das? The guy in stam, not thinking. So is the pshat that you have to have das to put it back on, or is the pshat is that you can't have had das not to put it back on? Meaning, what breaks the connection with the initial Shahiyah? The fact that I didn't have das to put it back on, or the fact that I had das to take it off? And then Afgamina will be stam das. So Rabbi Akiva Eger is mekel, that you have to have das not to put it back on. No, he's been the stam an idiot, so he's not thinking either way. Rav Shach holds, no, you have to have das to put it back on. So if you take it off by accident, will be this shayla. It's a machlokas lemaisa between Rabbi Yashiv and Rav Shlomo Zalman, how we should pasken on this issue. What is called daito lahachzir? Does it mean that I have to have, Rabbi Yashiv thinks you have to have das to put it back on? Stam das is not good enough. And Rav Shlomo Zalman held that the stam das is okay. That you didn't have, if you had das not to put it back on, that's what breaks the connection with the initial Shahiyah. This could come up also if you have the power goes out on Shabbos. So then it's sitting, it's not on the heating utensil anymore. The heating utensil went off. So is that called diet? Is that called ain't diet? No, nobody was sitting there having a mind to put it back on another heating utensil. So can I, let's say the heating went off on this heating utensil. Now I want to put it on, blew the circuit on the one. Now I want to take it from here and put it on another one. Is that called diet o lahachzir or not? So according to Rabbi Yashiv, that's not diet o lahachzir. You didn't have a mind to put it on another one. You weren't thinking, but you didn't have a mind. According to Rabbi Shlomo Zalman, nobody had das to take it off. Here the power went out. So maybe you could call that diet o lahachzir. Rabbi Akiva Eger was Megal, and Rosh Hashanah thinks we should pass him like Rabbi Akiva Eger.
Oh.
Rosh Hashabbos has that. Shemachlok is Rosh Hashanah and Rabbi Yasha. You're going to be so many cool tzadim lahakel by the power going out. That's really going to be, again, we mentioned the Chazon Ish said if it's just on the counter, the heating utensils like the counter, you have to put everything together. I don't think there's a minig anyway. It is me. I don't know. Why not pass on Rosh Hashanah? I don't know. I don't know. It rarely comes up. Yeah.
Does anybody know if the power goes out and it's on the heating element and the power's going to come back on in an hour?
We're going to discuss that case. Let's say the power comes back on. Here we're talking about moving it from one to another because it's an issue. If I'm just leaving it like that, maybe. Yeah, Rabbi Yashiv holds whether if the thing is still hot, so that's not called off. Meaning if the plata is still hot, so then that's like it's still on, just because the power isn't keep pumping in, but it's still hot, that's like it's on, so then you can move it. Wow. Power in Eretz Yisrael is always going out. Here, rarely happens. The opinion of the Ran, the Ramban Sif Beis quotes the Ran, who has an interesting interpretation of the Yerushalmi, that the only time all of these things are usher is if you did all these things, Henicha Gabi Karka, Dayto Lahachzir, is only if it wasn't, if you did them Friday before Shabbos. But once it was on the flame, Friday going into Shabbos, so the Ran holds, you can't lose your connection with the initial Shahiyah, even if you put it on the ground, or even if you didn't have Dayto Lahachzir, the connection with the initial Shahiyah is so strong that you can't lose your connection with the initial Shahiyah. And he reinterprets those Gemaras about Hinicha Gabi Karka and Dayto Lahachzir. So according to the Ran, even if you took it was on the fire Friday going into Shabbos, and you took it off the fire to put it in the refrigerator, and then which is like Karka, and then you want to put it back on the fire Shabbos morning, so the Ran would hold, that's called Hachazara. You didn't lose your connection with the initial Shahiyah, and it's mutter as long as the flame is covered with your, let's say, traditional Barach. The Rama says that it's Toiv Lahachmir, not against this Ran. You shouldn't be maker like the Ran. But the Chazon Ish holds that that the Ran had the wrong interpretation of Yerushalmi. He says V'chayev Lahachmir, that you're not supposed to be maker like this Ran. In the Shiurim of the Rav on Masechet Shabbos, which basically Rav Shechter's notes on the, from the Rav Shiur Masechet Shabbos, so he quotes there that the Rav was maker like this Ran. That you can take stuff off the blech Friday night after the meal, put it into the refrigerator, and then put it back on the blech Shabbos morning. The poskim in the Rabbi Shechter and Rabbi Wilk, neither one think umaisa to be maker like the Ran, but that's what they quote in the name of the Rav. Even according to the Ran, though, it has to be a gufo k'tuma. So that's why Rabbi Wilk went to great lengths to show that you can't put inside of an oven. Inside of an oven would be no good. Besides which, Rabbi Wilk also pointed out that the Ran, even though he's Mekel, he treats it like Hachazara, he treats it like Hachazara, so you need to be Guf Ketuma. You also need it to be that you can't do Hachazara Letoko. Hachazara itself is also to inside of an oven. So to return, to take stuff out of an oven Friday night, put it in the refrigerator, and then put it back into the oven Shabbos morning, Rabbi Willig went to great lengths to show that he thought even the Ran couldn't say that, because the Ran just said it doesn't lose its connection with Yishol Shahiyah, but it can't be better than Hachazara. So it has to be Gufo Ketuma, which is hard to accomplish inside of an oven. And besides which, Hachazara is also Letocho, So you can't return him back inside of an oven, even according to the Ran.
So if you hold like a Ran probably.
Yeah, maybe you could. Maybe you could. Yeah, those who are mega also, besides which. That's why Will goes to such great lengths to show it, because he's... anyway, but this is very important, b'di'evet. B'di'evet, you got a baron, make like a baron. B'di'evet also will rely on the run. You get to someone's house, and they did this, so you could eat the food. What is the iser in of hanacha b'tchilo? Meaning, even if it's a covered flame, what's the fundamental yesod of the iser of putting food back on a flame, Shabbos, that wasn't on the flame of Friday going into Shabbos? What is the nature of iser of hanacha b'tchilo? Which really means, what is the reason that you need Ode B'yado and Daita L'Hachzer? We know why you need Gufu Ktuma. We know why it has to be Denu Cham and Mufusho Kol Tzarka. We're really asking, why does it have to be Ode B'yado and Daita L'Hachzer? If you didn't have Ode B'yado and Daita L'Hachzer, so what? What's the problem? It lost its connection with Inshul Shia. What's the nature of the Yisr? So here too, Rabbi Wilk pointed out, basically the Rishonim go with Shitasim with one twist. Rabbeinu Tam says this is an Yisr of Shemi Echata B'Gecholim. Shemi Echata B'Gecholim, we're talking about a covered flame. How could there be Shemi Echata B'Gecholim on a covered flame? The answer is Rabbeinu Tam holds, if you took it off in there a little bit, and then you put it back on, so you might come to stoke the coals, the blech will remind you not to stoke the coals. But if I'm putting something on initially, it's really, really cold, then I might come to lift up the blech and stoke the coals. And the Ran here also goes with the same, like he said by Achazara, that the reason why you need all the b'yado and daita l'hachzer is also so that it shouldn't look like you're cooking. Ah, but we said on top of a blech doesn't look like you're cooking, ever. So he said, the Ran must say, yeah, that's if it was returning. But if there's a frost all over the item, it really is cold, so then to do hanacha b'tchila, even on a covered flame, would look like you're cooking. So the Ran holds that you need od b'yodon daita l'hachzer, otherwise it's a problem that it's mechzikim of ashel, and the Benetam holds you need od b'yodon daita l'hachzer, because otherwise it's a problem of shem yechat b'gecholim. How do we paskin on that issue? So he will have thought, and he discovered that there is a middle shita. There is the shita of the Baal HaMor, and the Tosfos HaRosh, and his pseudo Ran, who he thought... paskin that we should split the psak, that hachazara is also because of shem yichad b'gecholim. That's done. We finished that already. That's smicha and hachazara may have Shabbos. We figured that out. Hachazara is also because of shem yichad b'gecholim. But this, the reason why nirod b'yod and daita l'hachzer is also because of mechzi k'mavasho. How did Ray Willard figure that out? Because of his litmus test case. His litmus test case, which everything revolves around, is hachazara may erev Shabbos. What, do you need Ode B'yado and Daita L'Hachzer on Erev Shabbos? When I put fully cooked food on a flame Erev Shabbos, but it's cold, or it doesn't have enough time to get hot if it would be cold. So do I need Ode B'yado and Daita L'Hachzer too, or just need a covered flame? So the Mishnah Berurah in Sifka and Ayin Beis, quote from the Negro, who's quoting from the Tosfos HaRosh, that you don't need Ode B'yado and Daita L'Hachzer. Why do I need Ode B'yado and Daita L'Hachzer? If it's because of Shem Yechata B'Gecholim, that could happen on Erev Shabbos too. Because when Shabbos comes, it'll be really, really cold. And now I might come to stoke the coals. Must be that Ode B'yado and Daita L'Hachzer, the Isser, and the Sinim Echadosh, Hanacha B'tchilo, is not because of Shem Yechad B'Gecholim, that's also because of Mechzi K'mavashel. And you can't have Mechzi K'mavashel on Friday. So that's what Willard thought moving forward. What he thought is the way we should paskin is that Achazara is also the reason why you have Gufo K'tumah is also because of Shem Yechad B'Gecholim. But the reason why you need Ode B'yado and Daita L'Hachzer, or the issue of Hachanach B'tchila and Nesinim Echadosh, is also because of Mechzi K'mavasho. Rav Shechter, yeah?
Is there like a steer on the round because he says you could take things from the blach on Erev Shabbos, put them in the fridge, and then put them back on?
Oh, that Ron. No, but that's the real Ron. That's the pseudo Ron? This is the pseudo Ron, I think.
Oh, okay.
Am I wrong? I think they're two separate Rons. Besides, I'll show you, we really got like six runs that he was analyzing to get to this bottom line. Rav Shechter and the Chazon Ish think that no, that this is also us. Hanacha b'tchila Ode B'yado and Daita L'Hachzer is also because of Shem Yechata B'Gecholim. So what do they do about Rabbi Wulik's problem? Then why is there no Ode B'yado and Daita L'Hachzer on Erev Shabbos? Because they say they're not taken with the fact that Hachazar Me'erev Shabbos should be the litmus test case for everything. One could reinterpret that whole case. Rav Shechter thinks that that's an issue of shehiyah, not an issue of hachazara. That there's shehiyah by fully cooked food. So that's why Gufo Ktuma works. But nobody ever heard of Ode B'yado and Daita L'Hachzer by shehiyah. He thinks that's an issue of shehiyah. It's Friday. There's no issue of hachazara Friday. What Tosfos is saying is there's an issue of shehiyah on fully cooked food if it's cold. So one could get out of this whole case. In which case, then the options become open again. So Rav Shechter and the Chazanish both think, Rav Shechter is following the Chazanish, but he thinks that the whole issue of HaChazara and Nesina Mechadish is one of Shemi Echad to be Gecholim, and there's a lot of nafkaminas in terms of what you think is your best option in terms of heating food Shabbos morning. The first place, and this happens to be, by the way, it seems like it's a machlokas in the Mishnah Berurah, this issue. Why is Nesina Mechadish Asher? Why do you need all to be Odom and Dayto HaChazara? Is that because of Shemi Echad to be Gecholim? Is that because of Mechzi Kimavashel? It's not only machlokas Rishonim, it seems to be a machlokas Achronim, not only Rabbi Wilger and Shechter, but Hadapaskin, it seems to be a classical machlokas Achronim. Look over there in the Mishnah Berurah, Sivkat in Tezvav, he quotes a machlokas with regards to Smicha, which we said is Mutter by HaChazara, because HaChazara is Shemi Echad to be Gecholim. But you need all to be Odom and Dayto HaChazir in order to do Smicha. Smicha is Mutter by HaChazara, so you don't need Gruf for Ktuma. But do you need all to be Odom and Dayto HaChazir? Or not? Can you do Nesina Mechadosh next to a flame? That's two opinions in the Mishnah Berurah. The Rebbe Kiva Eger is Machmir, and the Sharatzian is Hivkot and Yud Tes, and Chafal, of course, the Dagomer Vava, who's Meiko. That you can do Smicha. You can do Nesina Mechadosh by Smicha. Not only can you do HaChazara by Smicha, you can do Nesina Mechadosh next to the flame. So Rebbe Willig thinks that we should pass on Rebbe Kiva Eger. Again, we said Smicha, there's a problem with Mechzi Kimavasha. When they put it next to the flame, it looks like you're cooking. There's no problem of Shemi Echad to be Gecholim. That's only if it's on the coals. So Rebbe Willig thinks we should pass on Rebbe Kiva Eger. That Smicha is Aser by Nesina Mechadosh. Why? It's Mutav HaChazara, because that's Shemi Echad to be Gecholim. It's not on the coals, it's next to them. But it's Aser by Nesina Mechadosh, because Nesina Mechadosh is Aser because of Mechzi Kimavasha. There's Mechzi Kimavasha by Smicha. And Rav Shechter in the Eretz HaTzvi quotes this, and he passes like the Dagomir Vava. He says he thinks the Dagomir Vava is correct, because Rav Shechter thinks everything is Shemi Echad to be Gecholim. So you could even do Nesina Mechadosh next to a flame. Not only HaChazara next to the flame, but even Nesina Mechadosh, because all the B'yadah and Daito HaHachzer because of Shemi Echad to be Gecholim, not because of Mechzi Kimavasha. So that's machlokas, really is the machlokas between the Dagomir Vava and Rabbi Kiva Eger. Because of Rabbi Willig's hybrid pshat, that HaChazara is also because of Shemi Echad to be Gecholim, but the need for Nesina Mechad, need for Oda B'yadah and Daito HaHachzer is because of Mechzi Kimavasha, so he comes off with a few interesting psakim. The first one has to do with Amir Lenachri. The Ramah in Sif Hay says that you're not allowed to ask a Nachri to do HaChazara for you. If you did it, whatever. To talk about Bidiyevet, you could look back on what we talked about Bidiyevet. But if you ask Anachri, you're not supposed to ask Anachri to do HaChazara for you. What's the reason you're not supposed to ask Anachri to do HaChazara for you? So the Mishnah Berurah says, because maybe the food cooled down and you have a problem with Bishul. I'm basically asking the Anachri to do Bishul for me. That's a problem. But let's say it's fully cooked food. There's no problem with Bishul. So then the Bir Halacha has a machlokas whether or not you're allowed to ask Anachri to do HaChazara for you. Some Achronim held you're allowed to ask Anachri to do HaChazara for you. Why? Because Amir Lenachri is one shvus, HaChazara is a second shvus, either because of Mechzi Kimavasha or because of Shemi Echad to be Gecholim, but either way, it's only Yosem Midirabbanan. That's a second shvus. And as we'll get to the next section, shvus to shvus is Mutter B'Makom Mitzvah. When you're trying to accomplish a mitzvah, shvus to shvus is allowed. What's the mitzvah here? Oneg Shabbos. That's only if it's a necessary tavshil. If it's like my fifth side dish, I don't think it's anything to talk about. Or if your wife has four mains, I don't think that this counts. But if it's necessary, it's a cholin, so then you can say shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah and ask the nachri to put it back on. And other achronim think that there's no heter shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah by HaChazara. So what's the issue? So the classical explanation for this machloka, why it's a good svara. Why should there be no shema shvus to shvus b'makom mitzvah? So the Chazanish explains, because the Chazanish thinks that the issue of HaChazara and the issue of Nesina Mechadosh is because of Shemi Echad to be Gecholim. So I asked the Nachri to put the tavshil on the flame. On Shabbos. The problem is, on the uncovered flame, the problem is, who's now going to stoke the coals? Not the Nachri. I might come to stoke the coals. So just because the Nachri did it, it's not an Isser Maisa according to the Chazanish. The Chazanish thinks everything is Shemi Echad to be Gecholim. It's an Isser, what he calls an Isser Matzav, because of the situation. So he says, just because the Nachri put it back on, I might come to stoke the coals. I only have one Shvus, I don't have two Shvusim. So Rabbi Willard thought, so that's the Machlokas, is HaChazara Aser because of Shemi Echad to be Gecholim, is HaChazara Aser because of Mechzi Kimavasha. If it's Aser because of Mechzi Kimavasha, you can say Shvus to Shvus, Mokom Mitzvah, the Isser is putting it on. The Nachri did it, Shvus to Shvus. If it's because of Shemi Echad to be Gecholim, then there's no heter of Shvus to Shvus, because he put it back on, but I might come to stoke the coals. So therefore, Rabbi Willard thought that you should be able to ask the Nachri to put it back on According to Rabbi Shechter and the Chazon Ish, you can never ask an Ofri to put things back on. There's never a hetter of Shvus to Shvus of Mokom Mitzvah. Because it's an Iser Matzah. They pass like those Afronim. But Wilk thought, based on his hybrid, that if it's a covered flame, you can ask an Ofri to put stuff on Miluchat Chila on Shabbos. Because the covered flame helps for the Shemi Yechat to be Gecholin. And vis-a-vis the Iser of Mexican Mavasho, I have a Shvus to Shvus of Mokom Mitzvah. So that was based on his hybrid shot, that if it's a covered flame, you could ask the Nachri to put it back on. The second, scenario where Willig applied his hybrid lumdis is with regards to the issue of putting stuff onto a as-yet-not-activated heating source, meaning a Shabbos clock is going to turn it back on Shabbos. So the Chazon Ish says it doesn't help. Let's say, what's the issue? The issue is when I take, let's say I have a heating utensil that hasn't turned on yet. So a guy, a very Baal Batish as far would be, let me put it back on while it's off. Nothing wrong with that. Put it back on an off heating utensil. Shabbos clock turns it on. Whoop! I didn't do anything. I put it on when it was off. So is that a good Svar or not? So the Chazon Ish says, no deal. Why? Because it makes no difference who put it on, even if no one put it on. But if you have cold food on a heating utensil on Shabbos, you might come to stoke the coals. Even if you didn't put it back on, because he holds everything is because of us, Hashem Yechad to be Gecholim. But Rabbi Willig wanted to taina that if it's a covered flame, again, we could be Mako. Because if it's a covered flame, there's no Hashem Yechad to be Gecholim. And with regard to the issue of Masik Mavashal, you put it on when it was off. There's no Masik Mavashal to put something on an off heating utensil. So as long as you put it on, when it's off, it should be okay.
But
yeah.
It's
off. What do you mean it's off? You can't ask me putting on things that are off. I'm machmir. That's a new level to put things on things that are off. So therefore, according to the Chazon Ish, by the way, the Chazon Ish only says that you're allowed to put stuff onto a heating utensil that has yet to turn on as if you put it there Friday. Let's say I put something, it's a little gross because you're leaving the food out from Friday, but if you put it on Friday while the heating utensil is off and it's going to turn on Shabbos, so then the Chazon Ish holds that's allowed. Because that's like Shehiya. I put it on Friday. Even though it should have been an Iser Matzah, the Chazon Ish calls that Shehiya. So as long as it's a covered flame or it's Mavushal Kol Tzarko, the Chazon Ish thinks you could put it on if it's going to turn on Shabbos. So that's why, let's say you have power goes out on Shabbos. So if you leave it in the same spot, so according to the Chazon Ish, it should really be okay. Even because if the fire goes back on, if the power goes back on, so according to the Chazon Ish, you put it there on Friday, even if the power went off in the middle of the night, but it went back on in the middle of the night, you don't have to asur all the food like an Isser of Hachazara, because according to the Chazon Ish, you put it there on Friday, if it's Mavushal Kol Tzarko, or it's a covered flame, which it usually will be, it's a covered flame, Mavushal Kol Tzarko, you don't have a problem, because it never moved anywhere. So that's not Hachazara or Nesina Mechadosh. According to Rabbi Willig, by the way, you should be able to have a hot plate go on. This has nothing to do with that. The non-adjustable hot plate, I get asked this all the time, but this has nothing to do with this even. This is only talking about a heating source that people cook on. If it's a heating source that people don't generally cook on, like the non-adjustable hot plate, that for sure you could have go. A lot of people don't like to leave the non-adjustable hot plate on all Shabbos because the kitchen gets very hot. So can you put on, I get asked a lot, can you put on a non-adjustable hot plate on a timer and then take the stuff out of the refrigerator and put it on after it's on? That's not the shayla. We're talking about putting it on before it's on, and it's a traditional heating utensil. So there we will help. If it's a covered flame, there's no problem messing with Mavashal because when I put it on, it's off. If you're talking about a non-adjustable hot plate, which we'll get to in a second, so then, according to Rabbi Willig, you could have it like putting a light on a timer. I could put my non-adjustable hot plate on a timer and then put my stuff in the non-adjustable hot plate. That's nothing to do with this.
What is it he didn't want to make?
Why not?
He just
likes
the
smart,
but he said he wouldn't be.
Oh, I don't know. It's hard to argue. How is it different than a light?
He just
likes
the smart.
Okay, I don't remember. But that's not this Shaila. This Shaila is a separate Shaila. This is where you're talking about a traditional heating utensil, but he's Mako on this. He's printed in the Sarah. But he's Mako on the Sefer on. I'm not asking you, I'm wondering, thinking out loud. Okay, we'll have to deal with that. Rabbi Wilk also employed this lumdis extensively with regards to the question of Kedera Agabi Kedera. The Shulchan Aruch and Sif Hei quotes the Heter of Kedera Agabi Kedera, that you could put food on top of another pot, which is on top of the flame. So we'll point it out, this is based on the Ran in the name of the Rashba, that there's no mechzikim of ashel, there's no, it doesn't look like you're cooking if it's on top of another pot. So, but there is a steer in the Shulchan Aruch. The Shulchan Aruch in Sif Hei allows you to do Hanacha Mechadash. You could take it out of, it was never on the flame on Friday going into Shabbos, and you could put it on top of a Kedera Gabi Kedera. But in Sif Gimel, he asers Nesina Mechadash on a Kedera Gabi Kedera. He only allows you to do Hachazara on top of a Kedera Gabi Kedera. So what do we do with that contradiction? It's a contradiction in Shulchan Aruch. So Machatzis HaShekel, based on a Magen Avram, distinguishes between dry foods and liquid foods. That if it's a dry food, you can put it on top, you can even do Nesina Mechadash on top of Kedera Gabi Kedera, because there's no Chashash of Bishul. But if it's liquid food, then you can't do Nesina Mechadash, because there's a Chashash of Bishul somewhere. So you can't do Nesina Mechadash on top of Kedera Gabi Kedera. You can only do Hachazara on top of a Kedera Gabi Kedera. Based on this, Rabbi Avadia says the following jump. Rabbi Avadia says, if according to the Machzis HaShekel, you can do Nesina Mechadash on top with dry foods on the top of a Kedera Gabi Kedera, so Rabbi Avadia held, well, a blech is really like a Kedera, it's like a crooked pan. So that's like a Kedera, that's one Kedera. And Rabbi Avadia argues, nobody cooks on top of a blech. Chazanish said everyone makes eggs on top of a blech. Let them make eggs in a restaurant. Rabbi Avadia claims nobody cooks on a blech. Who ever heard of people cooking on a blech? So Rabbi Avadia says nobody cooks on a blech. There's no mechzikim of ashel, just like putting stuff on top of a pot. So Rabbi Avadia holds, if you can put dry foods on top of a pot, you can put dry foods on top of a blech. So Rabbi Avadia holds, you can take stuff out of the refrigerator and put it on top of a blech, as long as it's dry foods, not liquid foods, because it's that's the heter of kedera gabi kedera. The Shmuel Shabbos Kolchaso also goes with a similar svara, but he doesn't make the big jump of Rabbi Avadia. The Shmuel Shabbos Kolchaso thinks that if you have that you can do Nesina Mechadash on top of a regular tin pan. You take a tin pan, you put it on top of the fire, and you take your stuff out of the refrigerator and put it on top of a tin pan. He doesn't think a blech is called a kedera. That's what Rabbi Avadia's thing. But he thinks that if you have a tin pan, you could do Nesina Mechadash on top of a tin pan. That's why you see a lot of times, I think he says like this, that the blech, you need to do the hazara on top of a tin pan on top of a blech. The blech serves as your guf oktuma, then the tin pan is on top of that, and that's a kedera, and then you have to return your stuff on top of the tin pan on top of the blech. That's why most seminary girls, which usually run the house when the couples get married until the guy comes to the fourth year and learns Hilchos Bishul, so that's how they heat up food. They heat up food, because in Eretz Yisrael, they all teach the Shmir Shabbos Kolchaso. So all the girls come back knowing this psak, that the way you heat up food Shabbos morning is you put it on top of an empty tin pan. That's based on this Machatzis HaShekel. However, when the guys usually learn Hilchos Bishul, so in YU, Rav Shechter and Rabbi Willig both don't like this Machatzis HaShekel. They prefer the pshat of the Prima Gadim, which the Bir Halacha quotes, who distinguishes between Sif Hei and Sif Gimel in a different way. This, again, Sif Hei said you're allowed to do Nesina Mechadosh on top of a pot. Sif Gimel says Kedera Gabi Kedera only works for Hakazara, not for Nesina Mechadosh. The Prima Gadim distinguishes between a full pot and an empty pot. If it's a full pot, then you have the het of Kedera Gabi Kedera. If it's an empty pot, then you don't have the het of Kedera Gabi Kedera. That's like a crooked blech, we will call it. So then there's no het of Kedera Gabi Kedera. So in order to heat up food Shabbos morning, you'd have to put it on top of a full pot, not on top of an empty tin pan. Rabbi Willig then quoted his Stira and Prima Gadims. The Prima Gadim at the beginning of Siman Reishon and Ches seems to say that there's an issue of Shehiya on top of a full pot. He said, oh, we're saying over here now, full pot is better than an empty pot. Because a full pot, not only can you do Achazara, you can do Nesina Mechadosh. If you can do Nesina Mechadosh on top of a full pot, how can it be that there's an issue of Shehiya, which is the lowest, the least of our problems? You can't do on top of a full pot. How could that be? So Rabbi Willig thought that he had his yisha for the Prima Gadim, which was the Prima Gadim is going within the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch. Within the opinion of the Shulchan Aruch, the whole issue of Hachazara and Nesina Mechadosh is one of Mechzikim of Ashel. So Rabbi Willig claimed there's no Mechzikim of Ashel on top of a full pot. But Shehiya, everyone agrees, is not because of Mechzikim of Ashel. Shehiya is because of Shemi Echad B'Gecholim. So it could be that a full pot doesn't help for Shemi Echad B'Gecholim. There's no hecker. There's nothing strange about seeing a full pot on top of a fire. Hachazara, Gufok Tumas, because there's something strange here. Hey, what's this tinfoil doing here? Hey, why are the coals covered? Nobody says, hey, why is there a full pot of food on a flame? There's nothing unique about that. So when did the Shulchan Aruch allow Hanacha Betchila and Hachazara on top of a Kedera Gabi Kedera? That's because he was pachsining everything is because of Masi Kimavashel. So it will then suggest that it could be for us, that we have our hybrid shot, that Hachazara is because of Shemi Echad Abigacholim, and Nesina Mechad Shot is because of Masi Kimavashel. Perhaps you need a Kedera, Al Gabi Kedera, with food, Al Gabi Blech, to solve all of the problems. I believe, though, you correct me if I'm wrong, that Lamaisi backed out from it. He used to say that, and that was the end. Lamaisi, I think now he backs out from that because the Shulchan Aruch Harav disagrees with that, in quotes of Magen Avraham, who disagrees with that Prima Gadim, that a full pot is considered, is not a problem by Shehiyah. A full pot is okay by Shehiyah too. So we consider a full pot to be like a blech. It reminds you not to stoke the coals for the upper pot. So now he backed out that a regular old Kedera Gabi Kedera is okay. But he suggested that possibility with Kedera Gabi Kedera Gabi Blech. But the Kedera would have to have food. So that's why the Het of the Shmir Shabbos Kol Chazer is fine, but again, here in the Yeshiva, that the accepted psak would be to have the pot should have food. So then what's wrong with the Kedera Blech? The Kedera Blech should have been great. That it's a traditional Kedera Gabi Kedera. Now that Rabbi Bilug backed out from his Kedera Kedera Gabi Blech. So Kedera Blech, they don't even make them anymore, by the way, Rabbi say. I don't think they make them anymore. But correct me if I'm wrong, because I think someone told me, this is off the record, that if there's no water left, it could explode. The air gets so hot that it's compressed. You heard? You never heard of this? Someone told me that. I don't know what to believe when people tell me these things, but I don't think they market it anymore. But the Gedera Blech, at least for a time, was a flat tin pan. I've probably never seen one. Anyone here ever seen one? No. You've seen it. Okay, so they have it. It was a squared pan that looked like a blech with lips all around. It was water that went inside. You fill it Erev Shabbos like you fill your pool, and then you put a covering on top. So that should be like a wonderful Kedera Gabi Kedera. So the problem that Rabbi Wilwick had with the Kedera blech is that Rav Moshe says, it's quoted by Rabbi Eider, saying that a steam table is a problem. Why is a steam that you can't return food, or you can't put food mechadosh on top of a steam table? Why is a steam table a problem? It's a Kedera Gabi Kedera. That's with the water in the bottom like they have in the calf. Why is that a problem? So Rabbi Wilwick suggested a new svara, perhaps. What's the problem with the steam table? It's because perhaps the het of Kedera Gabi Kedera is because it looks like I'm cooking the bottom food, not the top food. That's why there's no Masi Kimavasho by Kedera Gabi Kedera, because it looks like I'm cooking the bottom food, not the top food. So, but by a steam table, it doesn't look like you're cooking the water, it looks like you're cooking what's on top. So too, Rabbi Wilwick suggested that a Kedera blech doesn't look like you're cooking the water in the blech. Nobody even knows that there's water in there. It looks like you're cooking what's on top. So he didn't think that there was the head of a Kedera blech would be that effective. He said the Pella pot, which again, I don't think they market. It was a guy in Queens suggested it, and he put it like a few ads, and he made it, and he put a few ads in the paper, and then I don't think it ever got off. Anyone ever see one? No, I don't think so. He showed it to me. He came to the Shiva. It was a flat urn with a little spigot that you have a lot of shelf space on top, and you use the water in the urn. So we thought that was great, but they don't sell them. I don't think you can find one. But it's because there he claimed it looked like you're cooking the water. I use the water, and then what's on top is secondary. But a regular old Kedera Blech he wasn't in favor of. When the Kedera Blech came out, though, Rav Shechter thought that was the best etza. Why? Because he had a different shot than Rav Shechter thinks everything is because of Shemi Echad Abigacholim. So what's the heter of Kedera Gabi Kedera? Not because it doesn't look like you're cooking, not because it looks like you're cooking the bottom pot, not the top pot, and there's no such thing, Masi Kimavasho. Everything is Shemi Echad Abigacholim. So what's the heter of Kedera Gabi Kedera? The heter is because it's not the food, it's not the fire which is heating up the food that's on top. It's the fire is heating up the water, which in turn, or heating up my cholent, which in turn is heating up my food which is on top. So it's not on top of the flame, it's on top of a cholent. If I'm not mistaken, when you have, anyone who's a physicist or chemist knows more about this, if you have heat, fire underneath the cholent and then a kugel on top of the cholent, what heats up the kugel is not the fire underneath, it's the hot cholent, which then heats up the kugel. So the Chazanish held, that's not called Al-Gab, that's the Chazanish's pshat in Kedera Gabi Kedera. It's not because, it's because it's not on the flame. It's on top of a hot cholent. There's no issue of Hanacha B'tchil on top of hot cholent. There's only issue of Hanacha B'tchil on top of fire. May not be on top of hot cholent. So that's why Rav Shechter thought the Kedera Blech was the best Eitzah. Rav Wilwick, though, after he threw out the Kedera Blech, so the only thing that we were really left with in order to heat up food, apparatuses to heat up food Shabbos morning, was the non-adjustable hot plate, which Rabbi Wilk thought was the best Eitzah, because non-adjustable hot plate, non-adjustable, So he quoted from Rabbi Eider, who quotes in the name of Rav Moshe, that this is really the first time you'll see it. It's quoted in the name of Rabbi Eider. Rabbi Eider quotes in the name of Rav Moshe, and it's also, I believe, Rabbi Avadia has it. Both say that the non-adjustable hop weight is a good way of heating up food Shabbos morning. Why? Because the fact that it's non-adjustable renders it as grufuk tuma. That solves the hachazara problem for Rabbi Willig. And then the fact that nobody cooks on a hot plate solves the fact of solves the problems of Mexican Mavajo. So we looked at the non-adjustable hot plate was the best. The problem is that Rav Moshe's Rav Reuven, quoting the name of Rav Moshe, Rav Moshe never said it. That what Rav Moshe meant to say was he didn't even think that it's grufuk tuma. He thought a non-adjustable doesn't even make it grufuk tuma. So that's problem number one. We will also quoted that the language of emotion doesn't reflect this pshat. He has spent a long time in the language of emotion, Rabbi Eider, that it says that you can't possibly cook there. That's what prompted him to call Rabbi Reuven. That you can't possibly cook there. That's a difficult emotion. I think the Shabbos question coach quotes in the name of emotion, but the more can the Orcha Shabbos is not makel to use a non-adjustable hot plate. Rav Shechter also thought that a non-adjustable hot plate, nowadays if you ask him, he'll say that everyone says you can heat up food in a non-adjustable hot plate. But when, because everyone convinced him that that's the minhag ha'olam, is to heat up a non-adjustable hot plate. But he used to say that he had a problem with a non-adjustable hot plate, because he quoted Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank, or Sachs always used to quote this also, because Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank was his grandfather. But that Rav Tzvi Pesach Frank had a problem with the non-adjustable hot plates, because he said the fact that it's non-adjustable might solve the problem that is grufuk tuma. But if all you're concerned with is shem yichata b'gecholim, if you're not concerned with mechzik mevashel, again, Rosh Hashanah is only concerned with shem yichata b'gecholim. So the fact that it's non-adjustable makes it grufuk tuma. But what do you do about it? All to be other and die to lahasir. Non-adjustable can't solve everything. It's like a covered flame. Okay, so it's a covered flame. You can't do nesina mechadash on top of a covered flame. So Rosh Hashanah thought the non-adjustable halfway was not the best aid. So you have to Pick one of the options. The last option, which is the old thing everyone used to talk about, nobody does this anymore because nobody even has a traditional blech anymore, was to put stuff on the side of the blech to at least take out the chill. So that was a machlokes between Rav Moshe and the Chazon Ish. You're allowed to put food on the side of the blech where it's not Yad Soledes Bo. Rav Moshe held that you're allowed to put it on the side of the blech where it's not Yad Soledes Bo. And the Chazon Ish held you're not allowed to put it on the side of the blech. Even though it's not Yad Soledes Bo, you're not allowed to put it there. So Rabbi Willig said, what do you mean you're not allowed to put it there? It's on the side of the blech. How could it be a problem? It's not Yad Soledes Bo. So Rabbi Willig suggested that perhaps they're arguing about whether or not that's called Al-Gabi Ha'esh or it's not called Al-Gabi Ha'esh. Rabbi Moshe held on the side of the blech is not called Al-Gabi Ha'esh, so it's not Yad Soledes Bo, you can put it there. Rabbi Willig, the Chazon Ish held, no, that's called Al-Gabi Ha'esh. The Chazon Ish says, what, there's a wall between the different sections on the blech? There's no wall. So Chazon Ish says, you can move it, slide over. So he says, you're giving the Torah to everybody to figure out in their kitchens. He says, can't be. So Rabbi Willig explained, the Chazon Ish held that that's called Al-Gabi Ha'esh, and you can't even put it on the side of the blech where it's not Yad Soledes Bo. But because of this, Rav Moshe says, true, you can put it on the side of the blech, but there are three zones on the blech. There's the zone which is right on top of the flame, then there's the zone on the blech which is Yad Soledes Bo, but not on top of the flame, and then there's the outer zone where it's not even Yad Soledes Bo. So we'll call it A, B, C. A on top of the fire, B where it's Yad Soledes Bo, C where it's, you know, mamish out there. It's not Yad Soledes Bo. So Rav Moshe held, you can take stuff out of the refrigerator and put it on C. But once you put it on C, you can't slide it over to B and A. You have to leave it on C. But let's say it was on A. It was on top of the fire. Then I move it off to the side, let's say to serve. I take it to Shalom Agabi Ha'esh and I put it on the side where it's Yad Soledes Bo. So Moshe says, then you could move it back to the fire. Because that was Agabi Ha'esh the whole time. But then Ramosha goes and says something that's very counterintuitive. Ramosha says, you can take stuff out of the refrigerator and put it on C. But you can't take from C and move to B and A. But Moshe says if it was on A, you can move it even to C and then move it back. That's what Rabbi Eider quotes like that from Moshe. So Shabbos Kitchen jumps up and down. He doesn't understand how that could be so. How could it be that you can take stuff out of C? If it started on C, you can't move it to A or B. But if it started on A, you can move it to C and then move it back to A. So the Shabbos Kitchen's best fara is that should be like a Ron Plus. That can't lose its connection with the Shehiyah as long as it's Al-Gabi Ha'esh somewhere. The problem is, Rav Moshe held that C is not Al-Gabi Ha'esh. It's a problematic Rav Moshe. The last point that I wanted to mention was about Hatmana. This is the major issue with the crock pots. So Rabbi Willig's issue with the crock pots is because it's a Chazar Latocho. But the more widespread issue with the modern crock pots is because it might be an issue of Hatmana. Hatmana, the Shulchan Aruch at the beginning of Simin Reish, I think it's Reish and Gimel Sif Aleph, right over there. He quotes a machlokes between the Shulchan Aruch and the Ramah with regards to putting a pot directly onto coals. So according to the Shulchan Aruch, if you put pot directly onto coals, Hatmana, I don't want to get involved in the whole discussion of Hatmana. Hatmana, but Davar Hamosif Hevel, if it continues to heat, is also even on Friday going into Shabbos. If it's Mamid Hevel, so then it's only also to do, it's also to do on Shabbos. If it's before Shabbos, that's not a problem. A thermos is not a problem, though. That's not Hatmana. That's a covering. The first covering is never Hatmana. Tinfoil is not Hatmana. Even though it's keeping it warm, that's not Hatmana. That's prevented from becoming dirty. If you wrap it in two things of tinfoil, that's Hatmana, because I might be doing it to keep it. If I'm doing it because I don't want it to spill out, so then that's a covering. But if I'm doing it so that to retain heat, that's Hatmana, and that's a problem. An oven, by the way, is never Hatmana. May Erev Shabbos. It's only if it's a tight wrapping. Something that's more expansive, that's not Hatmana. You look around, Shulchan Aruch, all Beferish Adinim. Anyway, so the Shulchan Aruch, but if it's Mosif Hevel, so then you can't even do it Erev Shabbos. So let's say I have my urn, my Shabbos urn. So it used to be in the olden days of the metal Shabbos urns. Nobody even has one anymore. They used to put like a jacket on top of the urn to make it really, really hot. So that's Aser. That's an Iser of Hatmana. Even May Erev Shabbos. It's a problem. So let's say I put it onto coals. I have a pot that's on a fire. So Shulchan Aruch calls, that's Hatmana, but Davar Mosif Hevel, it's a problem. The Ramah says it's not Hatmana, it's open all around. So it's not a problem of Hatmana. So Sfardim, I think Rav Avadya says here too, the Sfardim are making like the Ramah, that if it's open all around, that's not Hatmana. But let's say, according to the Ramah, what's the halacha if it's just open on top? It's not open all around, it's just open on top. What's that? A crock pot. A crock pot has an open, has a thing that goes around the real pot. The real pot is there to keep it. That's the first covering. That's like the tinfoil. That's not Hatmana. The second covering, though, is to keep it warm. So that's a shayla of Hatmana. But it's open. Where is it open? On top. Is that open enough to be called open? Or perhaps, no, it has to be open on the sides, too. The Ramah said the bottom, if it's open on the sides and the top, that's okay. So that's a suffix that the Prima Godim has. What if it's just open on top? So Rav Moshe is Mako. Then if it's just open on top, it's not a problem of Hatmana. So a traditional crock pot is not a problem of Hatmana for Rav Moshe. The last pshat that Rav Shlomo Zalman issued before he passed away was that we should be machmir on the suffix of the Prima Godim. That just open, Rav Shlomo Zalman. That the last, the fact that it's open on top is not called open. It has to be open on the sides too, in order to be not called Hatmana B'davar Mosif Hevel. So therefore, Shlomo Zalman suggested that you should raise the pot up a little bit, so much so that the walls of the pot a little bit are visible. But you can't just put a little bowl. So some people put balls of tin foil, some people put marbles, some people put rocks on the bottom in order to raise up the pot. But the Orcha Shabbos quotes from Shlomo Zalman, it has to be raised up enough that it lowers the heat of the cholent a little bit. Meaning it has to be, it can't just be a little, you know, this. It has to be a little bit, you know, I don't think it has to be a lot, but it has to be enough that you can see the walls of the pot. In which case it would be called open on the sides and it wouldn't be a problem. Okay, Shkayach Rabbi Yisrael, here's Shem Thursday, 1:30, yeah.
I had the crock pot goes up a little bit over the wall.